of tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Spring Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, April the 18th, 2014. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on Faith is a Choice.
I want to talk to you about the disciples' problem of unbelief. I don't want to be real because I want to pray for folks at the end of the service. Lord, would you help us? Can't do anything without you. Not one thing can we do without you, Lord. Lord, we ask for your mighty anointing. We ask you to do what you want to do tonight. Show yourself mighty, Lord, in this place. Get the glory, Lord, praise God. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith is a choice. It's going to be about faith. Faith is a choice. And it's interesting how we choose what to believe or not to believe for. It's interesting. We choose that. And for instance, the disciples had faith to leave everything and follow Jesus. They had faith for that. But they didn't have faith to calm the storm. They didn't have faith to cast an unclean spirit out of a little child. And we're the same way. We have faith for certain things. Other things we can't have faith for. But they had a real problem of unbelief. Now, we have to get this right about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't matter what else you do, how good you live, who you are, what you have. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Now, Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death." So we see that the fearful and unbelieving are put right there with the whoremongers, murderers, sorcerers, adulterers, and liars. So we have to get this right about faith. This is not a game. This is not if we want to have faith. I'm telling the people that the unbelievers and the doubters, the fearful, are not going to enter in. We have to get this right. Now, the biggest problem the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ had was unbelief. You check that out. He corrected them more over their lack of faith than he did anything else. More than any other flaw they exhibited. Yes, he had to correct them about their jealousy, about wanting to be the top dog, other things like that. But it was their unbelief that he had more to say about than anything. If you look in the Word of God from the beginning to the end, it's all about faith. How's your faith tonight? It's all about faith. This is not multiple choice if I feel like it, if I want to. What kind of day it is. We must have faith. In Luke 12, verse 22, the first one we'll look at, unbelief concerning their food and clothing. Unbelief concerning. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought." Take no thought. Well, what do we do? We take a lot of thought.
Yeah.
It's a distraction. It's an effective trick of the devil. Even when we're praying, these thoughts are coming. What am I going to do? You probably had those thoughts today. But Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat. Have we got that down yet? The life is more than food. And the body's more than raiment or clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither has storehouse nor barn. They don't have any grocery stores. I was telling one of my grandchildren the other day, see that bird there? You know, they don't plow, they don't sow, they don't have a tractor, and God feeds them.
Amen.
Praise God. Whether you put out feed in the bird feed or not, God's going to feed them. Praise God. God feeds him, and he said, how much more are you better than the birds? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubic? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, I realize this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, but if you read that, He is talking to His disciples. The disciples had a problem with unbelief, and He's talking to them. Let me tell you something. God's not talking to the world. This Bible was not written to the world. It's written to His people. Praise God.
Yeah.
Now, so He's talking to them. And I'm not just saying that because of what I said about the Bible. You check that out in your Bible. He was talking to His disciples. Says it explicitly. Now, oh, you have little faith. You worry. You have thoughts. And worry and thoughts are the product or result of unbelief. And seek not what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be you of a doubtful mind. And all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. I tell you, He knows, and He's not playing games with you. But rather seek you the kingdom of God. Now, Matthew, of course, says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I had to ask myself, God, why did you give me this car? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add all these things to you. It may be a car, it may be a house, and I'm not a prosperity preacher.
Thank the Lord.
But I'm telling you, He will provide for you.
Amen.
Let's don't let Him steal that.
Amen.
Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Unbelief concerning their safety. Matthew 14:22. Then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. You know, if you don't have a place to pray by yourself, you're not praying. I'm just going to tell you now, you're not praying. Well, I pray in my car on the way to work. No, you're not praying. You have to have undivided time with Him. And of course, every demon in hell, well, not every demon, but a lot of demons in hell are going to come and mess with you while you're trying to pray.
Amen.
And you have to rebuke those thoughts and rein your mind in and get it back to where it's supposed to be. Praise God. The other morning I was praying. I get up early in the morning and pray. And it makes a difference in my life. I'll tell you, it makes a difference. But I was praying and the Lord just began to deal with me and tell me I didn't really know how to worship. You don't. He told me I don't really know how to worship. And just because we come in a place like this and they play the piano and they lead us in some songs doesn't mean we know how to worship. It has to be the Holy Spirit worshiping through you. Or it didn't get above the ceiling. Praise God. Now, to pray. And when evening came, He was there alone. But the boat with the disciples was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, that's from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., why did Jesus wait that long? Well, why did He wait till Lazarus was dead? Why don't you answer my prayer? He has a purpose, folks. One thing will build character in you and patience in us. I don't know about you, but right now, I'm having to have patience about some things that I want to see done, see God do. And He went walking to them on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. I'm going to say this. There was a man one time, we had a Christian school, and his daughter was so bad. And I told him, I said, your daughter's evil. I know I shouldn't have said that, but I just said, he had come apart on me. He should have thanked me. But he had to come upon him. Well, I'll have you know there wasn't but one man walked on the water. I said, no, sir, you're wrong. Two men walked on the water. They did. Two men walked on the water. They were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway, immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now they were afraid. The Lord was rescuing them, but they didn't like the way he was doing it. It didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen. I was reading about the revival, one of the great awakenings in America in Kentucky in 1800, 1801, 1802, around that area. And the author of the book is an eyewitness. He said some of them were greatly opposed to it because it didn't come the way they thought it ought to come.
Right.
Mostly it didn't come through them or through their church.
Wow.
And they didn't like it. Praise God. Be careful. God will answer your prayer, but it may not be the way you want him to answer your prayer. You know, people like to quote the scripture, he'll make all things work together for good to them that love him, who are called according to his purpose. And so your motor conks out in your car, oh, praise God, I'm going to get a new car. No, you may be walking. You may be walking, because you need to read the next verse. Because it says, for whom he, they're connected, that word for. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the good that he's working in your life is to conform us to the image of his Son. And that's more important whether you walk or ride.
Right.
Or anything else. And he said, Jesus said, come. And Peter was, when he was come down out of the ship, well, I'm going to miss it. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water. That's faith, isn't it? Isn't that faith? You going to try it? So he gets down out of the boat, and when he's coming out of the ship, he walked on the water.
Amen.
To go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, when we get our eyes off Jesus,
right,
he was afraid.
Come on.
And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
What does the scripture say? When we're faithless, he remains faithful.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Jesus could have said, well, another bit of dust. But he did. He said, you old unbeliever, you deserve every bit of this. I'm going to let you gurgle in the water for a little while. But he reached down and took him by the hand. And he saved him, praise God. Oh, I thank God for that. I thank God, he is so merciful. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, called him and said to him, oh, you of what? Little faith. Little faith. Why did you doubt? We're talking about not believing God for our safety. Why are you doubting? And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped Jesus, saying, of a truth, you are the Son of God. Of a truth. Now, unbelief concerning food to eat, again, Matthew 16:5. And when his disciples came to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. They forgot. What if the mess you're in is your fault? What if it is your fault? I mean, the devil will hammer you with that. Well, you don't deserve to be helped. I thank God again, he's merciful. I've made so many mistakes and messed up so many times. And God, that's really special when he forgives you and he has mercy on you. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves. Now, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the Holy Ghost teaching them or guiding them into all truth. They reason among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. Sounds like some kind of committee or something, doesn't it? You know, God doesn't speak to committees. God doesn't call committees. God calls men. God calls women. Praise God. Which when Jesus perceived, he said to him, oh, you of what? Little faith. Why reason you among yourselves? That'll get you in trouble. Rather than ask for God for wisdom, why reason you among yourselves because you brought no bread? Is that a problem to the Lord because you forgot? Because you forgot to air the tire before you left or whatever? Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves and of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? You know, they took up more. There was more left than they distributed. And they started with, excuse me, and they started with. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spoke it not to you concerning bread? Bread. but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, how different were their thoughts from his thoughts? Their thoughts were on bread. His thoughts were on the doctrine and the ways of the Sadducees and Pharisees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the Lord asked them, why didn't you remember? Why didn't you remember? Do you remember Peter? Peter didn't remember that the Lord warned him that he would deny him, that he ever knew him, until the Lord turned around and looked at him. And then he remembered. I wish we'd remember before we mess up. Unbelief concerning deliverance. Matthew 17:14. And when they, that's Jesus, Peter, James, and John, came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. And sore vexed, for often he falls in the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Have you ever been there? Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. Oh, thank God. Bring him to me. You know, when Naaman, his king sent him down to Israel, the king, to king of Israel, they'd been told that there was a prophet there, that they could be healed. He sent a letter and sent him to him. And he said, he's trying to pick a fight with me. Who am I? I'm not God. But the man of God heard that. Elisha heard that. And he said, hey, send him over here to me. He's going to know there's a problem in Israel. Send him. Can you say that? Can we say that? Send him to me. Praise God. I'm serious about what I'm saying.
Yes,
send him to me.
Yes,
when are we going to come to the place where we can say, send him to me?
Amen.
We had a youth camp for about 13 years, and one night that he was new to me. I'm going to tell you this, the more the Holy Spirit moves, the more the devil moves. You just mark that down. And one night, there's 26 kids got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the devil didn't like it. And there's a girl laying out there from under the tabernacle. She was manifesting. It was something. And they said, Brother Pinson, you got to come over here. You got to come over here. Well, I went over there, and I said, uh-oh. And we had a man there that was a big man and in charge of, I can't tell you. But anyway, I said, go get him. Praise God. He came over there and looked at her, said, well, praise God. Not exactly that, but he left. And there we were with that girl. You know, there was a good end to it. I'm not going to tell you all that right now, but there was a good end, praise God. Bring him to me, praise God. Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured in that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain. And he says, say. We're never told to pray for deliverance. We talk to that thing. We don't, you don't go to, oh, this person got a, Lord, please make this devil go away. I'm not trying to be facetious or something, but you understand how I need to tell you that. And I believe a lot of times we're wrong when we're praying for the sick and we say, oh, Lord, please heal this. We need to address that thing. And speak to it, the cause, praise God. Well, that's what he said. What does he say here? He said, say to this mountain, not pray about the mountain, say to the mountain, speak to it, remove hence the yonder place and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. However, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. The seven sons of Sceva apparently weren't praying and fasting because that devil and that one man jumped on them, tore their clothes off, beat them up, they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. So there's preparation. We don't just see somebody do this and that's what they did. We're going to go out with a jury in the name of Jesus and Paul preaches, and they didn't have anything to back it up. Now, they lost their faith through fear. Mark 4:35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over the other side. Now, this is not the same incident. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Jesus even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. I went to Israel several years ago, and we went out on, I don't know what else you call it, party boat, something about two or three decker boat. And we got out there in the Sea of Galilee, and a wind came up. I mean a wind. Suddenly. And they had to turn that big old thing around and go back to Tiberias. And then I could understand, if you read about this, how the winds have come out down off of Mount Hermon and caused these kind of disturbances. So, and he was in Hyde Park's ship asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now this is an example of a faithless prayer. Faithless prayer. Like Israel in the wilderness, can the Lord prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies? Watch how you pray. Lord, don't you care that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." He's telling the thing. He's not, "Oh, Father, please make this storm stop." He speaks to the storm.
Amen.
I have to say it that way for you really to really get it. He spoke to the storm. My wife, one time, we were pastoring our first church and living in a little mobile home. And I got home, she told me, said, "I got a broom, and I swept the devil out of this house."
Amen.
Well, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. A few weeks ago, I was in my church and I was praying. And I felt really impressed. I've been there 36 years this summer. And I felt impressed that some things need to be cleared out of there. Some spirits, some things lingered around in there. Things I knew, things I didn't know. And I mean, the Holy Ghost came on me, and I was getting with it in there. I want you to know it made a difference. It made a difference, praise God. Hallelujah. Speak to it. He spoke to it. Peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm, a great storm, then a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now Luke says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? We lose faith when circumstances deteriorate. Because our faith is not in the Lord, but it's in the circumstances. The our own strength, our circumstances. And as long as it's going good, we're okay. But you let things get a little rocky, and where does our faith go? It shows us where our faith is at. Not in the right place, not in the Lord. Now, unbelief concerning their authority, Mark 11:12. And on the morrow they would come from Bethany, and Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. Now, I want you to notice, he went to see if he could. Well, Lord, where's your divine revelation? Aren't you supposed to know? I need to say that. You know, when the lady with the little boy that was a miracle child because she built the apartment for the man of God, and he died, had a sunstroke, and she saddled the donkey and took off, and as she was coming, the man of God said, "Who is that? That looks like so. Well, I wonder why she's coming." Because I will just tell you, the devil's not where you are. You should know that. If you're the great man of God and woman of God, you're, why don't you know everything? Well, Jesus had, he went to see. Are you understanding that? Praise God. He went to see. I know he said the same works and greater works than you do because I go to the Father. But also, you know, he went, don't let the devil harass you. You're praying for people, maybe nobody gets healed. Well, Jesus went to Nazareth and he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Don't you take that guilt on yourself. Praise God. Well, where's your faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, excuse me, I'm on the wrong one. And Jesus answered and said to it, "Let no man eat fruit from you hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now this is a miracle, you understand that. Overnight it dries up from the roots. And Peter called to remember and said to him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." We have the authority to curse. Some people, they want to pick at this and, "Well, what? That's not right. The Lord shouldn't have cursed that tree. It wasn't time for it to have figs." Well, let me ask you, who made the tree? He can do with it what he wants to. He can do with you and I what he wants to. Or our business, or whatever it is. For his glory. And this is all about his glory here. Have faith in God. Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God. For truly I say to you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, and he shall have whatever he said. Again, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but this is the Word of God. I think it's all right. When I came this time, the other two times, our church has a pantry, a food pantry. We get items, you know. And so I like to share, and I brought some cakes and things. And the first two times. And but this time, they changed our day and gave us the distribution was smaller. And we distribute, you know, what they give us distributed from our church and our community. And for two or three weeks, there wasn't a cake, there wasn't nothing. And I had no faith. I didn't even ask God for anything. I didn't even ask. Well, we got there with a van, and there's a pretty good stack there. And we get all that comes that day. And then they pull up with another load. And I want you to know what I didn't have faith to ask for was in there.
Amen.
Isn't that just something? It was in there, praise God. Well, when we're faithless, He remains faithful. Thank you, Jesus. I believe this one that brought, praise God, probably what it was. Well, thank you, Lord. Now, he said here, shall not doubt his heart, shall have whatsoever things he said, and they shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he said. Therefore I say to you, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand, pray. When you stand, pray. In my church, for a long time now, when we come down, very rarely do I have them kneel. I have them stand and across the front. Sometimes it's very crowded, but to stand across the front. I have people that help me pray for them, people that I trust. We don't let just anybody pray for them like here. And I found out something. This is what the Lord showed me. That's how I found out the Lord showed me. And I don't want you to think I figured something out. And but they get down on their knees and hide, yawn, talk to each other, sleep, daydream. Okay, get up, you'll stand up. We're going to come by, and we're going to talk to you. Or the Lord is going to talk to you. And we're going to lay hands on you, praise God. And it's very effective. I don't know, I've heard preachers in the past, oh, they took the altars out of the church. We took ours out. Well, we didn't put them in the new one. But they come and stand. I don't know what you can agree with that or disagree, whatever, but I'm just reading to you. It says, Jesus says, when you stand, pray. I was reading a book about a lady in North Korea, and she had to break herself and pray with her eyes closed because somebody would figure out she's praying. And pray with her eyes open and don't move your lips or you'd be in big trouble. Well, pray and forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So you're not getting anything from God if you won't forgive. Now, the disciples, we're talking about them. They're a big problem, I believe. Now, they begin to understand they had little faith. Luke 17:5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Oh, you're catching it now. You've got a problem with your unbelief. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this sycamore tree, be you plucked up by the root. Now again, the word say, by the root and be planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Now we have a warning not to lose our faith. Luke 18:1. And Jesus spoke a parable to them, his own disciples. You read the context. To this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint or lose heart or give up. Saying, you know, until the Lord answers you, you keep praying. Some of you old enough to remember when this teaching came in, if you pray for one once, you pray in an unbeliever.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Jesus prayed for one man, came back and said, well, how are you doing? He said, well, men look like trees walking around, so he prayed for them again. I guess the Lord just didn't know their teaching. I heard a man say, God, if Paul had the faith I had, he wouldn't have suffered like he did. How foolish. Like he's got more revelation than the Word of God. Now, there was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary, or give me justice. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Yet because this will troubles me, all troubling in prayer, troubling, troubling, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. So you prayed two or three times, and God didn't answer your prayer. So you quit praying. No, you need to hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night to him, though he bear it long with him? This is what I found out in God. This is what I found out. It seemed like he's never going to answer prayer, but when he starts answering prayer, it comes fast. I mean, things are moving. Praise God. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? I think God's looking for one thing above all other things, and that's faith. Not sinless perfection, but faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I realize without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, but he's looking for faith. I'll give you a scripture in a minute. Now, prayer for faith not to fail. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that you may see if you are weak. Has the Lord ever let the devil have you? But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, Jesus did not pray. He did not pray that Peter would not fail. Okay? He did not pray that Peter would not fail. But he prayed that your faith won't fail. Which is most important? That your faith fail not. If we're honest, we all fail. I don't want to. It grieves me. And when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And I believe he meant it from his heart, but he just didn't know what was coming. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny three times that you know me. Now that's a precise prophecy. What did Peter say? I don't know the man. Now, faith comes. Did the disciples' faith ever improve? Did they ever overcome their biggest problem, unbelief? Look at Acts 3:1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer. I'm just going to tell you what this says. And you know, he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Takes him by the hand. He does two things. He speaks to him, and he takes him by the hand. There's a word and there's action there. Praise God. This one time I was praying for a lady in a wheelchair, and the Lord instructed me to tell her to get out of that wheelchair. She wouldn't do it. Oh, she got nervous. She got fearful. One time we were praying for a lady, I was assistant pastor of that church, and she had breast cancer, and a beautiful, wonderful, older lady of God, loved God. And while we were praying for her, we might as well put our hands on this dais, sister. That's how there was nothing there. She was so overcome and overwhelmed with fear that she couldn't believe God. I'm telling you, fear is real. It's a spirit. At that time, I didn't know how to deal with that. And she died from it. She died from it. I'm sorry, but she did. Now, after he's healed, he goes leaping and hopping and running through the temple, and the crowd runs together. The crowd comes. See, God's way to attract people is through miracle signs and wonders, not through bring your friend day, balloon day, ice cream day, hamburger day, whatever, big attendance day. No, that's what you do when you don't have the power of God. That's what you do.
Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us.
Now, so praise God. And this is what he says to him. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power and holiness we made this man to walk? See, the devil's going to tell. One time I was praying to people and I had my hands, and the devil said, I know where that hand's been. Ever said anything to you like that? Not through our own power or holiness. And so how then? In Jesus' name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. It's not me. It's not my power or my holiness. And I want to be holy. I believe you want to be holy. The whole time you're praying for someone, let me tell you something, the devil's going to be right there messing with you. Or messing with them, or messing with both of you. Or pinching the kids or something. Has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has not my faith, the faith is by him has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now what made the difference? What increased their faith? They said, Lord, increase our faith. What did? How did they get faith? Before their faith was little or none. And he had to ask them, where is that? What happened to them? Just a day's separation between where's your faith to here they're believing God and seeing miracles. What happened? Luke 24:49, and behold, Jesus speaking, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with, or enter into, or be clothed with, or be given power from on high. That power includes the power to have faith. Faith welled up in you by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I've been, it's a lot of mornings here lately in prayer, the Lord has been gently rebuking me. And it is gentle. And said, when are you going to believe me? When are you going to believe what I'm telling you? When are you going to believe this is going to happen? When do you believe this? He's about to get me to believe it. Praise God. I do believe he's about to get me to believe it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't his care so wonderful for us? We know that there's available to those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit the supernatural gift of faith, one of the nine gifts of Spirit, and faith that's a fruit of the Spirit. But let me tell you this. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit are subject to us, to the prophet. It's our choice to manifest that or not, to receive it or not, those gifts. Praise God. Will we have faith? Will we believe him? Praise God. Will we thank him for what he's promised to provide rather than living our life in unbelief? How long will we be stiff-necked and hard-hearted? By our unbelief, we insult Christ. We dishonor him and his word with our evil unbelief. Praise God. It's impossible to follow Jesus around. It is possible to follow Jesus around as one of his disciples. They did. And see all his mighty works. And hear his mighty words, and yet not fully believe and receive him and his word to us. We go on for years not believing, and therefore we cannot come into his rest. That's Hebrews 3:4. What I'm reading to you now is exactly what I wrote down while I was praying. I keep a prayer journal there and write down what the Lord says to me. Most of the emails I send out come from this, from those times of prayer. I don't have a book somewhere that I get it out of. I've had to repent because I've refused to believe him and his words. To not mix his words with faith is to not humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And that's why we're not being exalted, but rather we produce a miserable life and a base life. The greatest form of being exalted is to be changed into the same image as Christ. There is no greater exaltation. It's much easier to receive a word concerning our situation and our future if it doesn't involve or necessitate a miracle. Or we can see the possibility of it coming to pass by normal natural means or by something we can do or arrange ourselves. We must believe for deliverance, healing, provision, for the anointing, for revelation to be ever increasing in the body, never diminishing, always manifesting. Yes, and believe that we will continually come forth as light, a shining light in this dark world. We need to believe that. We must push forward, press on, and God will honor our faith by allowing the anointing to flow and heal and satisfy hungry hearts and souls in the name of Jesus and for his own sake. To believe and confess the wrong things will bring us great disappointment and harm. To believe and confess the right things will bring us great blessing. John 11:40, Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Jesus said to them all, and to all of us, if you believe, you'll see. He did not say, see and then believe. He said, believe and then you'll see. By faith in Jesus' name, we must take what he's giving to us and go forward as the Holy Spirit leads us in the battle. Then Jesus touched her eyes, saying, "The cord of your faith, so be it done to you." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." All things are possible to them that believe. In the ability and the willingness of God, one man said, "Lord, if you're willing, I know you can." And the Lord said, "I'm willing. Willing to do the things that He has promised by the mighty name of His Son, Jesus Christ." You know, we have to stand in faith sometimes. Sometimes we go forward, sometimes we stand. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now listen. Above, verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Above all, taking, that's why the Lord came down so much on them about their lack of faith. Above all. I'm telling you now, the Lord's telling you, above all. It's the faith thing, folks. It's believing God. We could have solved these things a long time ago if we believed Him. We could have seen changes a long time if we just start believing. I'll tell you, unbelief is sin. We're insulting Him. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Above all, you shall be able to quench. He said, stand. Withstand an evil day by faith. A few years ago, the Lord's made me some incredible promises about the church I pastor. And most of the time it's looked going the other way. I'm serious as I can be. And praise God. And I had a dream. In this dream, I was laying by the wayside like in a ditch. And I was beat up, tattered and torn, haggard looking, worse than I am. And it was bad. And people were coming by and saying, "What are you doing there? Get up and go. This is not happening. You're wasting your time. Go." Oh, the devil will scream that. I'm talking about standing. Sometimes we move forward, sometimes we stand. And this is what I said to him. "No, the Lord told me to stay right here. And if I'm not here when He comes, I'll miss Him. I have to stay right here." Stay where God's put you. If things are not working, don't jump up and run off somewhere. That's unbelief. That's fear. Stay where He's put you. How many times would God have done wonderful things if He could find someone to stand in faith and believe God? Praise God. Don't you know your faith's going to be tried? The trial of your faith, which is more precious than gold, it's our faith. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Tang, you come. I'm going to, this is the end of it. And, well, there's not an end, is there?
In the beginning.
Praise God. May God develop this in our hearts. May God enlarge it. Praise God and make it bigger. And show us, praise God. There's not anyone in here that cannot have faith. Or He wouldn't ask us. Our demanded commandment of us to have faith. Let's just worship Him. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.